Proverbs 17:13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. I'll turn this microphone up a little bit. I know it's really loud, so I will talk softly. Is it humming or anything like that? Okay. Now, rewarding evil for good. Who comes to mind in the scripture when you think of someone rewarding evil for good? Judas might well come to mind because the Lord took Judas into his very select group of 12 and taught him the gospel and welcomed him into the fellowship of his very choice disciples and apostles and protected him and the others when the Pharisees wanted to eat their lunch. And the Lord called Judas friend, and yet Judas returned evil for good. You might think of this conversation with the Pharisees when you think of returning evil for good. The Jews took up stones to stone the Lord, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Of course, they said, it's not for a good work, but because you make yourself God. And that's always man's problem with God and his Son. They make themselves God. We don't make them God. They make themselves God. And we don't like it by nature. This sin is sin that every man by nature is guilty of. Listen to Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. So it says they weren't thankful. There was so much. There's so much to be thankful for just being born into this world. We knew God. We knew that God provided everything. He gave us life and health and everything we have. You think about all the things that God has done for us all of our lives, and yet, by nature, we change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Adam himself in the garden, as our representative and the father of mankind, what did he do? Well, he sinned against God. The original sin is what it's called, because original sin speaks of the sin nature that was Adam's after the fall and all of our sins. But have you ever looked at it this way? He returned evil for good in the garden. God gave him paradise before he ever made him. He made paradise for him. God didn't need a paradise. He made one for us. And all that God had done for him, and this is really a characteristic, as you see there, of all sin. We think of sin as being defined as disobedience to God, transgression of the law, and that's right. But all sin is a recompensing to God evil for good. Even the original sin, even when the Lord brings a man now into this sin-wrecked world, God gives life and usually health And as a rule, a mother's love, a father's love, something to eat and drink all of our lives, you can't even count all of the blessings that God bestows upon man just by nature. And we have to be honest about this. It's us. It's us. We think about how evil man is. How about how evil I am? That's just the truth of it now. We'd be overwhelmed to think of all that God has done for us all of our lives and what return has God gotten on his investment. Thank God that that's not the issue. He didn't do it because he expected something in return from us. Thank God that that's not what it's about. He blesses his people because he loves us, expecting nothing from us but evil. Every ounce of glory that God receives in his dealings with us comes from something he did, not from us. We do the sinning and God does the saving. And so what is God going to do with people who all their lives return evil for all of his good? And another example that comes to mind is Hosea and Gomer. When God would show us something of his love for us, he caused Hosea to fall in love with Gomer. And though she was wretched and unfaithful to him, he still wanted the best for her. He still left good things for her at her door and loved her yet. You read the book of Hosea and look for that one word, yet. And we'll learn something of the love of God for sinners. Yet, go yet and love a woman that has done nothing but shame you, disgrace you, break your heart over and over. Go yet and love her. So what's God going to do with us who've returned evil for all of his good? Well, I'll tell you what he did with a whole bunch of us, the number which no man can number. He redeemed us. He gave himself for us. Because of the evil that we are in the face of the good that he is, as our text says, evil can never depart from our house. It's always going to hang over us. We are under the wrath of God by nature. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. And as we've said, this can easily be seen as a metaphor for all of this whole wretched world. Mankind has done nothing but return evil for good unto the Lord. And so our house, this world, is full of only evil continually, is the way God describes it. And so it is with every individual in their house. But with those whom God loves, there is exception. God hath made a difference between his people and the rest of the world. Think of this verse. Now once in the end of the world hath Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The evil that is upon our house by our own doing, Christ put it away. By the sacrifice of himself, he took the sin of his people on Calvary upon himself and suffered every consequence of our sin in this world and in the world to come. You think about that this morning. He suffered every consequence of our sin in this world and in eternity. You might think, well, Chris, there are consequences for our sin in this world. In a sense, there are. But God turns everything for our good, even here, even now. The consequences that we face for our sin in this world are not the judgments of the holy God, but they are the chastisements of the loving Father. So, why is that? Because Christ, by the sacrifice of himself, took away our sin. Both here and in the world to come, all of the consequences for our sin were suffered in our place. And that's the clear, simple gospel of Christ. And so, as in all of Scripture, may God give us grace to once again rejoice in the truth that though we're guilty of every sin mentioned in this book, each and every one of us has returned evil to God for all of his good to us. We're guilty of every sin mentioned in this book, and yet by the grace of God in our crucified and risen Savior, we are the objects of every mercy promised in this book. To those who he loves and who love him by his grace. And may God give us grace in Christ. I believe this is part of this too. We're exhorted here as believers to at least return something other than evil unto God. For all the mercies of God upon us, in this sense, that we worship him. Can I know that our worship is full of sin? And yet, by his grace, because of Christ in us, the hope of glory, we're able now to worship God. We couldn't do that before. And may he give us grace to do that and to serve him and to witness of him in this world. Not in order to be saved. Christ is all of our righteousness and our only righteousness and salvation. But because he has saved us. May we render unto him, as the scripture put it, the sacrifice of our lips, even thanksgiving unto our God. Just saying thank you is not what that's talking about. Just saying it, but to be thankful indeed. And prove by his grace the sincerity of our love. A gift. May he make it so. Amen.